Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Happy New Year. How are you guys doing? Awesome. Awesome. Great to see you today. Today we're kicking off a brand new series called Why Not Us? And in order to get something out of this series, you need to understand that this is a series that comes with some punctuation. Punctuation changes things. Now, what you need to know is that I'm not great with punctuation. I'm not great with grammar. I've written 3 books, and if I didn't have an editor, no one would read my books. It's not natural to me. In fact, often when I post something on social media, within about 5 minutes, I'll get a text back from my wife that says, hey, you misspelled this, or you need to add a comma, or this is what you meant, but it's wrong. And so I have to correct it all the time. I am not great with punctuation, but punctuation, it really does matter, and it can change things. For example, here is an image for us. The image has 2 different sentences. The only difference is a comma. The first sentence is, let's eat grandma. The second sentence says, let's eat, comma, grandma. The first sentence implies that grandma tastes like chicken and we're hungry. The second statement means, let's eat, grandma, we're hungry. Let's all participate in this. Punctuation saves lives. And with this series, it is important that we get the right punctuation. When we say, why not us, it's not coming with a question mark, it's coming with an exclamation point. Why not us with a question mark is something that maybe you ask. It often happens when we look at our problems or we look at our own issues and we say, well, that's not fair. Why don't I have this thing that other people have? Like, for example, maybe you are a single and your friends continue to get married and you look at that and you say, as much as I want to be excited for them, why not me? Why are they getting to be happy? Why not me? Or maybe you're married and you have a desire to have children, and maybe you're like my wife and I, who went through 10 years of infertility, and during that period of time, it seemed like everybody who didn't want to get pregnant got pregnant. People, women literally were sneezed on by their husband and they got pregnant. There were babies everywhere. We went to so many baby showers, and it's so easy during that season to say, well, why is it all happening to them? Why not us? What's wrong with us? It's easy to compare to other people. Or maybe you're here today and you are a middle schooler or a high school student, and you look at other students at your school and you say, well, why are they popular? Why not me? Or why are they so athletic? Why not me? It just doesn't feel fair. Or maybe at your job, you look at other people and they seem to advance and everything they do just seems to find success. And you look at yourself and it feels like a struggle. And when you compare, you say, well, why not me? Why don't I get that bonus? Why don't I get that promotion? Why not me? Comparison is a dangerous trap. And that's why we've got to get the punctuation right on this series. Because this series is not about comparing ourselves to other people. It's not about saying, woe is me. Why don't I have something that I feel like I deserve? This is a series with an exclamation point. The difference is when we look at problems and we say, why can't we be the answer to that? There are a lot of issues in this world. Why can't we be the ones that fix that problem? Why not us? Why can't we be the change? Why can't we come together and make a difference in the world? Do you see the difference in the punctuation? One is a question that says, oh, woe is me. Why not? The other is a statement that says, no, we are going to be the difference. We are going to be the change. We're going to make the world a better place. Why not us? Why wouldn't God use us? Why not us? And I want to show you this through our scripture. It is a scripture that comes from a prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed over some of his closest friends. The Apostle Paul, if you're new to the church scene, you may not be familiar with him, but Paul is a primetime player in scripture. He wrote over half of what we call the New Testament, and he went from someone who persecuted Christians, literally put Christians in jail, to leading the church because Jesus changed his life. He was a missionary who went around the world, and he visited a place called Ephesus, and he helped plant a church in Ephesus. He spent 4 years in Ephesus. That's more time than he spent on any other missionary journey, and he really got to know the people in Ephesus. He felt called by God to leave Ephesus and go to Rome, and when he got to Rome, he was arrested simply for being a Christian. He didn't break any laws. He didn't do anything wrong. He simply loved Jesus, and they threw him in jail for it. While he's in prison, he writes a letter back to the church in Ephesus. And he gives them a prayer. It's a prayer for them, and it's a prayer that I think is also for us today. It's a prayer that I hope will inspire us to dream big dreams. In fact, I hope that you'll commit to be a part of this series for the next 4 weeks, because this is a series that's going to build one upon the other. And what I hope is that at the end of this series, we are all dreaming big dreams. I hope that all of us are saying, why not us? Why can't I be the solution to this problem? Why can't I fix this? Why not us? And I hope that there are some dreams that are birthed in here, that some real life solutions to some of the world's biggest problems are birthed out of this room today. I hope that God does immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. I hope that God gives us, for those that don't even have a vision and don't even have a dream, I hope that God puts one inside of our soul that keeps us up at night, because we can't wait to do what God has planted inside of us to do. In order to do that, I want to show you this verse, this prayer that Paul wrote to the Christians in Ephesus. And at Next Level, we honor the text by standing to our feet and reading it nice and loud. So I want to invite you to stand up and read with me Ephesians 3:20. When we get to the reference, you'll see there's two dots between the 3 and the 20. We have a little bit of fun. We like to just say dot, dot, and you're welcome to try along if you'd like to. Would you read it with me nice and loud? It says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is work within us." Ephesians 3, dot, dot, 20. Now that we've read the text, I want to invite you to pray. And what I would love to do is just give you a moment to talk to God quietly in your heart. This is not something you need to do out loud. You don't need to use verbal words, but just quietly in your heart. I want to give you an opportunity to speak to God. And for some of us, that might be scary because you've never prayed before, or maybe it's been a long time since you've prayed. And I just want to invite you to pray a simple prayer. The prayer is simply, God, would you speak to my heart? And would you give me the courage to do whatever you tell me to do? Would you spend a few seconds just talking to God on your own? God, I think it's so cool that you can hear every single one of our prayers at the exact same time. And I think it's amazing that you care about us enough to actually answer prayers. You don't have to answer, but you are a good, perfect Father who loves to give us good gifts. And right now, the gift that we're asking for is your voice. We ask that you would speak to us. Some of us have never heard you. Some of us have ignored you. Some of us don't even care about you. But God, what we have in common is that we all desperately need you. So we ask that you would speak to us in the stillness of our hearts today. And when you speak, we often become afraid. So would you give us the courage to obey you, no matter how afraid we are? And God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. So there are a lot of problems in the world today. You probably have some problems in your life. It was interesting to me, ending 2019, the most common thing I heard people say about 2019 was what a rough year it was and how tough it was and how they couldn't wait to get out of 2019. And you probably have some problems. I have some problems. Our church, I think it's a great church, but we're not perfect and we have problems. There are problems all around. Our country right now has some massive problems. There are problems everywhere we turn, and oftentimes it can become overwhelming. And the next time that you have a problem, I want you to reframe the way that you view it. Because there's two ways to view a problem. The first way is to say, woe is me, this stinks, this is difficult, I don't know what to do with this. The other way is to look at a problem and say, this is an opportunity for God to do something amazing through me. And in fact, if you're taking notes, I want to encourage you to write this down. Problems are opportunities to invent creative solutions. Problems are opportunities to invent creative solutions. None of us like problems. None of us enjoy problems. Problems, we don't wake up on Monday and say, God, give me some problems. I can't wait to have problems. But the truth is, problems happen. So what if the next time a problem came before you, instead of saying, woe is me, instead of saying, why me? Why is this happening to me? What if you reframed it and said, you know what? This is an opportunity to find a creative solution. Did you know that some of the greatest inventions in the world today started off as creative solutions to problems? For example, some of the leading companies today, they asked some questions that no one else was asking, and they discovered things and created things that no one else could discover, and now it's made them millions of dollars. For example, Uber is the world's largest taxi company, and they own no vehicles. Facebook is the world's most popular media owner, and they create no content. Alibaba, I don't have a fat clue what that is, but they are the most valuable retailer, and they have no inventory. Airbnb is the world's largest accommodation provider, and it owns no real estate. someone had came up with a problem and said, instead of saying, woe is me, instead of saying, why not me, with a complaining, they said, you know what? This is a chance for me to do something creative. In the taxi cab world, one of the most expensive things is buying the taxi cabs and maintaining the cars. And someone invented and said, well, what if we could create a taxi cab service where people use their own cars and we didn't have to do maintenance on their cars? That's how Uber was invented, and it is changing the game. Airbnb said, you know what's so expensive? It's so expensive to build hotels. We don't have millions of dollars to build hotels. But what if we used people's homes and allowed other people to stay in their homes and paid them a little bit for it? And now they are making millions of dollars because of a creative solution. You have a problem in your life. I have a problem in my life. There's problems all around. There's problems in our country. And what if we looked at these problems as simply ways for us to be creative to find amazing solutions? And in order to do that, we're going to have to use our imaginations. I love what pastor and author Mark Batterson says. He says, at some point, most of us stop living out of imagination and start living out of memory. Instead of creating the future, we start repeating the past. Instead of living by faith, we live by logic. I don't know about you, but it's very easy when it comes to my problems to live by logic and say, oh, well, that's impossible. I can't do that. Who am I to solve that? It's always been this way. But what if we started living out of imagination? You know, at one point in your life, you lived out of imagination. If you ever give kids a coloring page, they have all sorts of imagination. I remember when my kids were 2 and 3 years old, if I would hand them a picture of an alligator, they rarely colored it green. It was always purple and orange. And the response of adults is, no, that's wrong. Well, why is it wrong? They're living out of their imagination. And at some point, we stopped having childlike faith, and we started becoming old farts, and we stopped dreaming, and we stopped having imagination, and we just looked at our problems and said, well, these problems are too big. I can't solve them. But what if instead of saying, woe is me, what if instead of bemoaning, why not me? Why don't I get this? What if we said, no, why not me? Why can't I be the solution to this? Why can't God use me to fix this massive problem? And I'm asking this question for our church as well, because there's a lot of problems in the world. And why can't we be the church that fixes some of these problems? Why couldn't God use us to solve some massive problems? Like, for example, did you know that foster care in Virginia, if enough churches would just have a heart to make sure that every kid has a home, did you know that's a problem that the church could solve? Literally, it is. If the church just got excited and did what the scriptures say, that good religion is this, to take care of widows and orphans, if we simply did what scripture said, we could see a problem solved in our lifetime. So why not us? Why not? And I know not everyone's called to foster, not everyone's called to adopt, but what if we were the church that supported those that did? What if we said, hey, you're doing the hard work. We're going to make sure you have meals provided for. We're going to make sure you have babysitters. We're going to make sure we help you out. What if we help solve a very tangible problem in our area? Homelessness is a real issue anywhere you go in America. And one of the things that I love about HELP, if you were here during the welcome, you heard the mention HELP. It's one of our strategic partners. And one of the things I love about HELP is that HELP not only provides meals for the homeless and provides shelter for the homeless, but HELP also provides opportunities for the homeless to get off of the streets. And one of their goals is to take the homeless and to help educate and teach and give them the treatments that they need so that they can become part of society that gives back. And they actually have success stories where they've taken someone who was down on their luck, who was homeless, and got them a house and got them a job, and now they're giving back to society. I love that. And what if we were a church that was part of the solution? What if we were a church that said, you know what? Homelessness doesn't even exist in Virginia because we've taken care of this issue. What if we were the answer to some of these problems? Did you know that in America today, every single day, 10 churches close their doors? Every day, 10 churches close their doors. Next Level is a healthy church. We've got a lot of people. We're growing. We got people coming. What if we lived out our core value, which is it's God's kingdom, not ours? And what if we became the solution to help dying churches? What if we helped fix some of these problems? What if we said, on our watch, we're not going to allow a church to die in our area? It's not just about Next Level, it's about God's kingdom. So if other churches need resources, we'll help them, we'll help support them. What if we looked at problems and instead of said, woe is me, this is too difficult, what if we said, no, you know what? We have the ability and the opportunity to solve these problems. We just have to use our imagination. And the question is, how do we do this? That's a great question. Thank you for asking it. Our scripture actually answers how we do this. And once again, it is written by the Apostle Paul. He says in Ephesians 3, 20 through 21, it says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more." Would you humor me and just say "immeasurably more" out loud? One, two, three. That was good, but I believe you have immeasurably more in you. So would you say it even louder this time? One, two, three. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine." Now to him who is able to do not just what we ask, not just what we imagine, immeasurably more than anything we can even ask or imagine. Here's the amazing thing about this verse. When we don't have the imagination to fix our problems, God does immeasurably more than what we could even imagine. Isn't that amazing? You have the ability to solve problems, not because you're great, not because you're creative, but if you're here today and you are a Christian, then you have an advantage over others. That is, the living God lives inside of you, who wants to answer prayers and wants to do good things on your behalf. And when you have a problem, he has the ability to do immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine. So if you're here today and you say, you know what, I've got some problems in my marriage and I just can't imagine having a healthy marriage, God's got you covered, because he is capable of doing more than you can ask or imagine. If you're here today and you say, man, I'm drowning in debt, I can't imagine living in financial freedom, well, you know that God can do immeasurably more than you can ask or even imagine. And today, if you would say, I've got some problems, you're in great company, because we all have problems. But we have a God who can do more than anything we can even ask or imagine. And I want to be a part of a church that experiences miracles that we can't explain away. How cool would it be to experience some things that we couldn't even ask or imagine? We've gotten a taste of this in the past. About 7 years ago, we prayed and asked God to give us a free church building, and he provided. He gave us this building. That was bigger and better than anything I could even ask, I could ask or imagine. But there's a lot of other big problems. There's a lot of other things that I can dream. I can have some visions, but without God, it's just going to be impossible. Like, here's an issue in the modern church today. There's an issue that it stems back way from the civil rights era. It's an issue that I would think we would have improved upon, but when you look at churches today, it's still an issue today. The issue stems from a quote that I heard Dr. Martin Luther King say, I didn't hear him personally, but I read the quote. And the quote is it's a quote that haunts me. It's a quote that I remember hearing in high school, and it's a quote that I hope that we can see God do immeasurably more to change the circumstance of this quote. Dr. Martin Luther King said, "Unfortunately, most of the major denominations still practice segregation in local churches, hospitals, schools, and other church institutions. It is appalling that the most segregated hour of Christian America is 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings, the same hour when many are standing to sing, 'In Christ there is no east nor west.'" And unfortunately, even though a lot of things have improved and a lot of things have gotten better since Dr. Martin Luther King's time, I'm not sure this has gotten much better. What if, though, we were the church that brought our country together, that brought races together, that brought differences together, that were unified in the name of Jesus? Now, right away, I know that there's problems, because the number one issue that I hear often is, yeah, but we're a church in York County, and York County is predominantly white. And, well, yeah, isn't that just even that more amazing if God were to bring other minorities and other races that we could say, this is impossible, we don't have an answer for this, but we are a solution to bringing people together. There is so much divide in our country today. What if we were a church that was unified? What if the government went to us and said, hey, you know what, how are you getting these people that have such big differences, how are you getting them in the same room? How do you get them together? How do you get Republicans and Democrats to like each other? How do you combine these people? How do you do this? And wouldn't it be amazing if we said, we don't have a fat clue? But God does immeasurably more than what we can ask or imagine. Wouldn't it be cool to be a part of some things that would make other people scratch their head and say, this just doesn't make sense? Why would that happen in that church? Why would that happen with those people? If you were here last week, you heard us cast a vision for 2020. And if you weren't here, I hope you listened to the podcast. But the first part of the vision for 2020 is that we are building a new building, and we want to go into this new building debt-free. That's stupid. That no churches do that. No churches do that. And we may not be able to accomplish this, but I want to try. Why? Because we have a God who does immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Well, let me tell you, I can imagine going into a new church building without debt, so I just can't wait to see what God's going to do. Because he has the ability to do more than we ask or imagine. But here's the kicker with all this, and this is the big idea for today. If you're taking notes, I encourage you to write this down. You haven't really believed in God until you've attempted something that cannot be done in your own power. You haven't really believed in God until you've attempted something that cannot be done in your own power. This verse that we're reading, it is a prayer, and it talks about receiving immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. But the issue is, oftentimes we become afraid. We are scared to dream big dreams. We're scared to try to reach for big goals because we're afraid of failure. But I love what the verse does next, because it doesn't just say dream big dreams and have big goals. It tells Christians that we have an advantage over other people. Let's get back to the text and see what Paul says next in Ephesians 3:20 through 21. We've already read this part. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, would you help me read out loud the next four words? They're underlined. According to his power. So God is able to do more than we ask or imagine, not through our power, but according to his power. And that power is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is the ability to access the power of Jesus. Now, I want to make sure that you get this, because the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is not that Christians are perfect, because we're not. We all have our own issues. We all have our own addictions. We all have our own problems. We're not better than anyone else. But the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is not that we're perfect. It's not that we're better. It's that we have access to the power of the living God. The difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is when we struggle in life, we don't have to rely on our own strength. We can rely on a God that does immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. The issue is that God has created us in his own image. And because he's created us in his own image, we're pretty awesome. In fact, you don't have to believe in God to know that God created you and he doesn't create junk. God created everybody, and there's goodness in everyone. You were created in the image of God, whether you believe in God or not. But this is where the problem lies. Because God created us in his image, because we have a lot of goodness in us, it is easy to rely on our own strength. And it's easy to come at our problems and try to solve them ourselves. And it's easy to look at the problems of the world and put in our own effort. And then it's easy to get discouraged when we fail. But the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is that we don't just rely on our power, we rely on the power of God. It's kind of like this. I want to show you an image. And if you know what this is, just shout it out. All right, Mario, Super Mario. Yeah, this is Mario from the video game Super Mario, which came out on the Nintendo in the 80s. Anyone play this game? You are my people. That's awesome. Now, Mario is a really fun game. If you have never spent time playing it, I encourage you to go invest in it. You will not regret those hours that you spent. It's a really fun game. If you haven't played it, that's okay. But here's something that happens with Mario. When you first play the game, even though it's called Super Mario, when the game starts, the Mario that they give you is not very super. He is ordinary plain Mario. An ordinary plain Mario can still do great things. You can still jump on the turtles and squash the little walking mushrooms, and you can still hit blocks, and there's a lot of great things. In fact, you can beat the game, Super Mario Brothers, just being plain old Mario. But there's something cool that happens in the game. At certain points, Mario jumps up and hits a little block, and a mushroom comes out. And when he eats the mushroom, this sounds like drugs, but it's not. When he hits the mushroom, the mushroom is called a super mushroom. And when he eats the mushroom, he goes from plain old Mario to Super Mario. Look at this. This is what happens. This Small Mario, Big Mario. Small Mario, Big Mario. Now, Small Mario is still awesome. It's still fun. I've had to beat the game as Small Mario. But it's so much better when you're Super Mario. And the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is the difference between Mario and Super Mario. Super Mario relies on a power that gives him an advantage over his problems. So I just want to throw out to you, are you dealing with the problems in your life in your own strength, in your own power? Or are you relying on the power of Jesus? Because your power doesn't do immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine. But the power of Jesus can do immeasurably more than anything we can even ask or imagine. But it comes through relying on his power. Now, I want to expound on this by giving a little bit more explanation to the text. The text that we've been reading is the very tail end of a prayer that Paul was praying over the church in Ephesus. I want to now rewind and read to you the beginning of this prayer and show you how power has such a big part in this immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. In Ephesians 3, 14 through 19, Paul starts off the prayer by saying, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father." I want to stop there just for a second. This is actually a radical saying. In Paul's day and age, you didn't kneel before the Father. You stood in prayer. And Paul was saying, in order to receive the power, I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to kneel before God. And I'm going to ask him to do something. Look at what he says. He's going to kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with what? Through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have what? Together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. This is an amazing prayer. And today, whether you struggle with knowing how to pray or you're a prayer veteran, I would encourage you to pray scripture. It's a great way to pray, to take a scripture, take a prayer in scripture and pray it over your family. In fact, this prayer from Paul, it's a prayer that I pray over my own kids and my own family, and it's a prayer that I pray over us. I want us to experience the power of God. I want us to experience God. And I love what he says near the end of this prayer. He says, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and how long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge. The truth is that if you're here today, there's a great chance, if I ask you, do you believe God loves you, you would say yes. But there's a difference in knowing God's love and experiencing God's love. There's a difference between knowing that if Mario hits the mushroom, he'll become big, and actually getting the mushroom. There's a difference. And the way that we do that is we follow Paul's example. We drop on our knees and say, God, I can't do this on my own. I do have problems in my life. I have been trying to fix myself through my own strength. Thank you, God, that you've made me awesome, that I can solve a lot of my own problems. But there are some problems that are bigger than my pay grade. So, God, I'm going to humble myself by dropping to my knees and saying, God, I need your power. If you don't show up, this isn't going to happen. If you don't show up, my marriage will not make it. If you don't show up, my kids will not fall madly in love with you. If you don't show up, our country will break in a divide and we will kill one another. But God, if you show up and your power gives us the ability to change the world, then we can see you do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. But that power starts when God's people grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Jesus. It's often been said that in the church world, men don't connect with prayer and men don't connect with worship. And it's typically found that women connect more with it. And I love that we have a lot of women. I love the women are awesome. Keep leading. Keep doing your thing. That's awesome. Yeah. I love it. We need more women to step into their calling and do what God's called them to do. But what if we were a church where the men also experienced the love of God? And what if we were a church where men help lead the way with the women who are already doing it? What if we were a church where wives didn't have to drag their husbands to church, but the husbands dragged the family and said, come on, we're excited about this because I want to experience this love that is bigger than anything I can even ask or imagine. What if? It's often been said in the church world that teenagers who are going through church, once they graduate and get to college, they are leaving the church and they are not coming back. But what if we were a church where teenagers, when they went away to college, instead of running away to sow their wild oats, what if they went away and saw it as a mission field and said, I'm going to go to college and I'm going to change the world. And if for some reason they run away from God, they miss Jesus so much they can't wait to run back to him. What if we were a church that had teenagers that just were passionate for Jesus? What if we were a church that had married couples who actually loved being married to each other? What if we were a church that had families who actually loved spending time with one another? What if we were a church that made such a difference in the world that people wanted to be a part of the church even if they didn't agree with what we believed? What if we were that church? In order to get there, it takes us back to our big idea. You haven't really believed in God until you've attempted something that cannot be done in your own power. The stuff that I'm dreaming and the stuff that I imagine, it's not something that we'll ever see in our own lifetime if we try to accomplish this on our own. But with God, all things are possible. And I know that you have some problems. You might be carrying some problems that you couldn't get rid of in 2019. You've just carried them right into 2020. But what if this was the year? What if this was the year where we saw some victories? We sang earlier in the service, I see a victory. What if we experience that? I want to tell you that victory starts not from relying on our own strength, not trying to solve our own problems, but the victory starts when we, like Paul, drop to our knees and said, God, I need your love. I need you to remind me how much you love me. I need you to give me the solutions. I'm not creative enough. I don't have a big enough imagination. In my mind, all I see is my problems. In my mind, all I see is destruction. All I see is brokenness. But God, you can do immeasurably more than I can ask or imagine. So I'm going to humble myself and pray. What if we were the church that sought God with prayer? I love the story that Pastor Erwin McManus tells about his son, Aaron. One summer, Aaron went to youth camp, and he was just a little kid. And Erwin was glad that it was a church camp because Erwin was used to, when he was a kid, going to camp, and they would tell all the ghost stories, and they would always scare him. And so he was glad to send his little kid to a church camp because he knew there wouldn't be any ghost stories. But what happened at camp was worse than what he could imagine, because at this church camp, instead of talking about ghosts, they talked about demons and the devil. So his little son Aaron comes home terrified, and he says, Dad, don't turn off the light. And then he asked his dad, he said, Dad, would you stay with me tonight? I'm so scared. I'm afraid. They told us all these stories about demons. And then Aaron said, Daddy, would you pray for me that I would be safe? And at that moment, Erwin felt something rise up inside of him. And what Erwin Manis said back to his son, Aaron, he said, Aaron, I will not pray for you to be safe. I will pray that God will make you dangerous, so dangerous that the demons will flee when you enter the room. To which his son, Aaron, replied, all right, Dad, but would you pray that I would be really, really dangerous? I love that perspective, though. When we come to our own problems, are we like his son Aaron and say, hey, would you just pray that these problems would go away? Would you just pray, I can't solve it on my own. Would you just take away the problems? What if instead of saying, God, just remove these problems, what if we got creative and said, hey, you know what? I want my problems to be afraid when I walk into the room. Because I'm walking in the Spirit of God, with the Spirit of God, through his power. And yes, we all have problems, but we have a God who does immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. To close, I want to read this prayer one last time, Ephesians 3, 20 through 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I don't know what your exact problems are, but can I tell you that one of Paul's problems in the church was that the church in Ephesus was divided. It was divided between Gentile Christians and Jewish Christians. And when Paul prays this prayer, he's praying that God would do something that the culture said was impossible. The culture said it's impossible for Jews and Gentiles to get along. It's impossible for them to worship God together. But he says, listen, I know the problems that you're facing. I know the culture says it's impossible, but we have a God who does immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. So let's be a church that drops on our knees and prays and asks God for his power. That takes us to today's win. The win's what we do with all this. The win is simply to pray. It's what Paul did. Paul had some major problems in his life, major problems in society. You have problems in your life. I have problems. But the answer is to literally pray. And so the win today is to pray. God, there are some impossible things in my life. I'm asking that you do more than I can imagine. Give me your power to be the solution to the problem. And I want to give you a chance to pray that prayer. If you want to peek and read it off the screen, you can. There'll be no judgment here. But I will say it. And if you want to pray this, if you want to see God do immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine, would you just quietly repeat after me this prayer for today? God, there are some impossible things in my life. I'm asking that you do more than I can imagine. Give me your power to be the solution to the problem. In Jesus' name.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.